thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, that washes us clean, that washes us pure. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus ever speaking. And we are aware of the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against us can get through that blood. Hallelujah. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus today, covering us, covering our families, covering those watching online. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice that you paid for all of us. We receive it today. We rejoice in all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength in this day. Hallelujah. We give you glory, honor, and praise if you agree with it. Hallelujah. Shout amen. Glory to God. You may greet someone this morning in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We welcome those of you online. We thank you for joining in with us. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today on this wonderful moving into spring day, right? We sprung forward. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the spring season, and it's going to be in the 70s here in Nebraska today. So can't beat that. You just can't beat that in early March, right? Hallelujah. I hope you all have some outdoor plans today. So we want to welcome you. If it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church. You can find out more about us, our past sermons, testimonies. You can submit them, prayer requests, and also the sermons are in series. So if you're going through something where you need healing in your body, we encourage you to get those healing messages out. Feed on the healing messages. If you want to learn, they're all by title and subject. You can just start playing those, going through them. Praise God. Pastor Rodney's daily devotional is on the website as well. It's on Facebook. It's awesome. We've all been enjoying that. And so we just encourage you to continue sharing that with your friends. I mentioned that, I believe last week, that I shared it with somebody the Lord had put on my heart. You know, I was reading it for myself, but it was like this gal, she needs to hear this. And I was able to share it with her, and it's something easy to digest, right? You know, and then there's a prayer, there's a confession. And so he made it simple, but it's powerful. And we appreciate that so much. And also, okay, Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10, so come early. You know, we have fellowship over here and coffee. Also, our greeting, our volunteer sheets over here if you want to sign up for volunteering. And for the volunteers, we have Usher's video production, children and youth ministry, and the worship team. So we do have someone who signed up for some of these, but we need more than one for the worship team, for the children's ministry, and for the video production, because that way we can have, you know, more than one trained if somebody's on vacation, out of town, those kinds of things. And so praise God, we're getting people signed up and it's coming. And so we're thankful for that. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share that with your friends. This Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, we're going to have a fellowship dinner. It's going to start at 6. Everyone say 6 o'clock. Praise God, 6 to 7:30. And the church is providing pizzas. And so if everyone wants to bring a salad, some kind of salad or something to go with that. So that way we can have a fellowship dinner here on Wednesday night. And guess what? It should be light a little bit longer. So we're thankful for that, you know. And so spring has sprung. Spring is springing. Praise God. Also, we're calling in by faith to have a building of our own with lots of room for growth, prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms, children's ministry, young adults, and our fellowship hall. And so we have not taken our eyes and our faith off of that. We're very thankful for this place. It's a great spot for us. And all the while, we are believing for our building and thanking God for that because He's arranging it. And He knows as we're growing and what we need and where we need it and how it's going to happen. And we trust Him in that as well. And also, a chair update. Praise God. We have our chairs, the one that Ann's sitting in there is the pattern that we have. It's not this red, but like Pastor Rodney and I have this on our refrigerator. We're thanking you, Father, that BLFC has our 42 chairs. And then we put the amount that we believe God for to be able to sow into this. So the total originally was $3,654 was the total for the 42 chairs. So far, $2,553 has come in. That's 29 chairs are paid for. Praise God. So that is $1,101 remaining, 13 chairs remaining. And so as the Lord leads, you know, to sow for a one or two, 10 or the 13 chairs or a half chair or a fourth a chair, praise God. But we're getting the seed in the ground and the harvest is coming back. And we want to say thank you to all who have sown for these chairs. Thank you for those of you here, you know, the people that are coming that will come in the future that haven't even gotten to be in on it. Just think you will have been the ones God used to provide. He provided, but you will be have been a part of this chairs. And those online, we want to say a special thank you to you. You haven't even been here, some of you, and you're sewing for these chairs. What a blessing that is for those who are a part and they're still sewing into the work of God. That is awesome. It's amazing. God is faithful. You know, I think about when we were at our last church, I remember we were sewing for the Bible college. Even before that, we were sewing for the children's ministry for a whole like wing of the church and area and the things. And Pastor Rodney and I got to be a part of sewing into that. And then we watched it develop over the years. And it was such a blessing. And now it's fully functioning. And then there was the Bible college coming. And we used to point to the area and say, we speak to you. You're finished. Furnished, full, and free. And, you know, the Bible college, it was a vision that we had. And we got to sow into that. And then next thing you know, here comes the Bible college. And I believe it was 2018. And then Pastor Rodney and I got to be a part of it starting in 2021. And so it's so neat to get to be from the ground up. And so I just wanted to share that with you. We'll get to see some of those things here more and more and more. So praise God. With that, it's offering time. And well, if you want to turn to Jeremiah 29, while you're turning there, if you do so for the chairs or anything with the building, there's general fund. But if it's anything to do with the building, including the chairs, you can write building fund on your offering or online. There's a drop down to select building fund. And so that way we know those go specifically to the chairs because it's designated funds for that. So this morning for the offering, the Lord was really putting on my heart His plans to prosper us. And Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar scripture, if you will, it says, in the NIV this morning, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Verse 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Praise God. Psalm 35:27 said, "God delights in the prosperity of His servant." And then this morning when Mom was leading pre-service prayer, what a beautiful time we had in pre-service prayer. Thank you, Mom, for leading that. Isaiah chapter 60, I believe it was, that she was saying, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Verse 2 says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness over all the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. And so God wants people to see who he is. And how does that happen? Through his people. And I was talking to somebody a little while back within the last month or two. And, he's a blessed Christian man. And, you know, he was sharing some things that he was doing. And I said, well, praise God, you give and it's given back to you. Amen. And he says, well, I don't believe in the prosperity message. And I just let him talk and everything. And it's not about the prosperity message. Father God has prosperity in mind for his children, because he wants us to be a blessed. First of all, he loves us, and to be a blessing to others. And so it's not about, you know, some kind of prosperity message just for me to get rich and that's it. No, prospering in every area that he has through us, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. You know, someone needs healing. We have the healer in us. That's prosperous. And so the word says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge, you know? And so I think sometimes it's just this mindset of, oh no, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so I just want to encourage you, the Lord wants to prosper you. He has prosperity in mind for his children because he wants to bless others. Jesus is coming, and what greater way, you know, to be a sign and a wonder for them so that they can see God's love through us, shining through us. And so praise God this morning. If you're giving, there's an offering envelope under your seat, under the seat in front of you. If you're giving online, the information's on your screen. If you are giving by check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, please write your name and your address on the offering envelope, because we have to turn those in for the cash and the cards. And so praise God, you may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Ha, Jesus paid it all. Amen. Yes, prosperity. That's just, you know, the gospel is prosperity. Spirit, number one. Soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your body, your healing, amen, and yes, finances. Finances are a part of it. That's just a part. It's really the lowest form of it, but yes, prosperity, spirit, soul, body, socially, your relationships, your household, amen, and your provision, amen. It comes with that, every part of it. Say hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, we thank you so much for this time, this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we know that every time we come together, every church service, Lord, you have called this church to be here. You've called us to be here as a church, as pastors and leaders. And Lord, we know that every service that you have ordained, Lord, it is a visitation from the head of the church. And so, Lord, today, even as I am speaking, as we're ministering here, we receive this is not Rodney's word. This is your word. This is your voice. This is your spirit. Lord, what you want to have said here today, Lord, to bless the people, we receive eyes that see, ears that hear the voice of our good shepherd. And we give you thanks. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, you know what time it is. Hold up your Bible. Praise God. This is my Bible, the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Say ha, ha, ha. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. We have to stir up the joy, though. Praise God. We don't just necessarily, your flesh does not wake up joyfully. Amen. But we stir up the gift. Paul was writing over to Timothy. He says, you've got to stir it up, boy. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. It's in you, but you've got to activate it by faith. Ha, ha, ha. Hee, hee, hee. Ho, ho, ho. Joy, joy, joy. Hey, man, the kingdom, the scripture says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am the righteousness of God. And when I understand my righteousness, guess what? There's the peace. Amen. Because I'm not disturbed by all this other stuff that may be going along. I've got peace. And if I know I'm righteous and I've got peace, well, there's nothing but room for joy. Ha, ha, ha. I'm in the kingdom today. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Oh, thanks be to God. Victory is mine. Stir it up. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to, we're still sharing here today on the subject of faith. Praise God. But, you know, I want to do something here today. And again, everyone in the room, I believe, has your notes. They're online. The website's on the screen, blfc.church. You go there, click on the sermon tab and all of the audio, these notes, you can print them all, follow along on your tablet or computer or however you're watching us. They're there for you. But here today, on the back of these notes, I went ahead and printed this off for us because I just wanted to give you, number one, a sample, but share with you a little bit about the heart behind this devotional that I've been writing this year. And this is something that I've had on my heart for years. Even before we came out here to plant this church, I had books, you know, and it's like, I've never written a book. I've never had any idea about writing a book other than I want to help get the word out, you know, and my heart is to teach. You know, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a teacher and I want to teach, you know, and this is just an available voice, you know, and I know a lot of times people come in, you know, especially as people are coming in, you know, and we're really believing for you. Amen. But as you're coming in over these next weeks and months, and even should the Lord tarry years to come, people come from all types of backgrounds. A lot of times they have different religious ideas and theologies, and sometimes they're coming in off the street, praise God, with no theology. Honestly, that's the easiest to work with, you know. It's a lot easier to work with a clean slate than it is to try to unlearn, you know, all this other stuff. Amen. But what this devotional does, it's really set up in a 12-month track, and every month kind of follows a different theme, and even within that theme, there are themes. And the whole idea behind it, number one, is faith runs from cover to cover. But we're really looking at specific topics, you know, such as now in month four, for example, I've got through month six. And so I've still got to write the rest. And then Lord willing, we're going to get this in print, you know, whether it's just here locally for the church or if the Lord wants to use it beyond the church, you know. But here's the other thing. I'm writing this with you in mind. And it's written from a pastor's heart, a pastor's perspective, you know, and so again, I, Lord willing, I hope this goes all over the world, you know, but if it goes just here in this church, that's okay. Amen. I mean, and it is a lot of work, you know, but I enjoy doing it. But I want to just kind of breeze through this because these are all basically set up, give or take, right about 500 words. You know, and actually I played it, you know, I just took this and I played it, you know, if someone else were to read it, you can read this in 3.5 minutes, start to finish. Now, if you read it in 3.5 minutes, you can maybe get a little bit out of it. But if you'll take 10 minutes with it, 15, just even 15 minutes and just kind of meditate on what you're reading and allow it to sink in, I promise you, if you'll do this every day, you will be radically transformed in your thinking because this is what it's designed to do. Take you through just these basic principles of faith. Now, for month four, for example, we highlight the word of faith, you know, but then we also highlight healing. We're highlighting these different things, but I'm just going to kind of go over this from, this is from today. This is this morning. So again, this is on the website. You can also go to Facebook. The link is linked back to that every single day. Every morning when you wake up, it's there. So I just want to go through it. Today is called You Are Qualified for Healing. Say healing is mine. Amen. Now, if y'all recall recently, we were taught several weeks on that passage over in Colossians chapter 1, 12, 13, 14. And what does verse 12 say? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Huh? He has qualified you. So here in just these last few days, and even coming tomorrow, I believe is qualified for provision. You were qualified to receive, having all your needs met and furnished in abundance. But today is about healing. So we start off here. We'll always start off the same way with an opening scripture. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his stripes you are healed." Well, again, if I are healed, I am healed. Amen. And so this roots back to I'm qualified. He has qualified me. So I'm just going to kind of read through this just for an example for us. But you are qualified for healing, not because your body feels strong. So again, I don't consult my body to find out whether or not I'm healed. I consult God and his word, because that is the eternal truth. All this other stuff is temporary, it's temporal, and it's subject to change. Mm-hmm. You know, matter of fact is, you probably started off good. Something happened. Well, it can go right back by the word of God. Again, you're qualified for healing, not because your body feels strong, not because you've prayed long enough, not because you have lived perfectly. You are qualified because Jesus paid for your healing with his own blood. Healing is not a reward for spiritual achievement. Well, I've studied, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've been to church faithfully, I've paid tithes, and I've done this, and I've done that, and now, yeah, I kind of measure up. I think I've done enough to earn me some healing. Nope. That's not how it comes. You were healed in Christ the moment you were born again, and you've been healed the whole time. Now, the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy, and what is he stealing? The truth. If he can steal the truth, then he has that open door to kill and destroy in your life. Again, Hosea 4:6, you quoted it in the opening, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. If the devil can't steal the truth, he can't take you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Not because you live perfectly, you're qualified because Jesus paid for your healing with his own blood. Again, healing is not a reward for spiritual achievement. Healing is part of your inheritance, purchased, secured, and guaranteed by the finished work of Christ. Jesus, his blood, the finished works are backing every bit of it. Again, I'm not looking to my own strength. I am guaranteed healing because of what he did, not because of what I have or haven't done. Amen. Again, 1 Peter 2:24 does not point to your worthiness. It points to his stripes. Healing does not flow from your performance. Healing flows from his sacrifice. The cross is your qualification. The stripes on Jesus' back are your legal right to wholeness. That's your legal right. That's your legal right. Healing belongs to you. Healing is the children's bread. Jesus said it. Hallelujah. He says, yes, your legal right to wholeness. You do not approach God hoping he will heal you. You approach him knowing you are already healed in Christ. Being qualified for healing means you never have to wonder if God wants you well. The cross settled that question forever. Jesus did not partially carry your sickness. He fully bore it. Say fully. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. He did not partially break the power of disease. He completely destroyed it. Healing is not God's occasional decision. Well, if it be his will, no, it was his will, and there's stripes on his back 2,000 years ago there on the cross that proved that's my will, and I paid that price in full for you, so you don't have to live with it another day in your life. Amen? It's not his occasional decision. Healing is God's eternal provision. Woo-hoo. You are not trying to convince him to do something. You are receiving what he's already done. So again, I'm not praying to the mountain. I command that mountain to go in the name of Jesus, and it has to obey. It'll jump up out into the sea, never to be seen again. Amen. You know, when you take something, you throw it in the ocean, and it sinks way down, You ain't seeing that thing no more. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the idea. Thank you, Lord. So again, I'm not asking God to do something. I am simply receiving what he's already done for me in Christ. Again, healing belongs to you at the new birth. Healing was already deposited into you in your spirit man at the new birth. Now it's time to homologio, agree with God. Say what he says in full harmony with him. It can't be any other way. Thank you, Jesus. This truth breaks the lie that healing depends on your spiritual performance. If healing were based on your behavior, you would never be confident. But healing is based on his obedience, not yours, his perfection, not your progress. His sacrifice, not your struggle. You were not disqualified by weakness. You were not disqualified by symptoms. You are not disqualified by your past. The blood of Jesus has qualified you once and for all. Say hallelujah. Living qualified for healing shapes how you walk each day. You resist sickness because you know it has no legal right to stay. You speak God's word because you know healing belongs to you. You pray with confidence because you know the price has been paid. You stand firm because you know symptoms do not change truth. You expect restoration because healing is part of your covenant. Today is about embracing the truth that healing is not something you earn, it is something you inherit. You are qualified because Jesus qualified you. His stripes are your healing. His sacrifice is your confidence. His finished work is your foundation. Amen. So let's all confess this together. I am qualified for healing. Jesus paid for my wholeness. And I receive what his blood has secured for me. And we have a prayer, and I'm going to pray it over us. Father, thank you that the cross has qualified us for healing. Help us stand in confidence, receiving the wholeness Jesus purchased for us. And that pastoral closing charge, walk today with healing confidence, qualified, redeemed, and fully restored through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. There are 365 of these. Amen. And I assure you, if you will do this every day, you will not be the same. Amen. Right. That's the whole idea, to take you from the milk to the meat of the word. Right. Amen. To help you stand victoriously in life. Amen. To see you reign in life. The word says in Romans 5:17, we're to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's the idea. Amen. Hallelujah. So I pray that you're blessed with this. And I highly encourage you, spend time with this 10, 15 minutes every day. Amen. Now, again, we're going to put this out in print. And Lord willing, also, I'm going to record an audio of this every day. So even if you're driving to and from work, you can just play this in the car. You know, and hear it a couple times, you know, make these confessions. I'm going to do everything I can to get the word to you. Amen. Praise God. And what you do with it. Amen. I believe you're going to just grab hold of it. Amen. Take a big old bite, amen, and bear down. Thank you, Jesus. Well, our message today is have faith in God. And I don't think we're going to get all the way through it today, so you'll just have to pick up with us next time, because I have more notes than I think we have time. But we're going to get started on it. And we're going to look at this passage here, and I'm going to read all the way through the passage, and then over the next couple of messages, we're going to spend some time breaking that down. But in Mark 11, verse 11 through 24. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when they had left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if there was any fruit on it. But when he reached it, he found nothing on it except leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat of your fruit again. And his disciples heard this statement. So again, Jesus is afar off. He didn't just whisper to it. He in a loud voice, because they heard it way back over yonder, right? Amen. And his disciples heard this statement. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then Jesus began to teach them, and he declared, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" When the chief priests and scribes heard this, so again, who was Jesus talking to when he made that statement? He was talking to them. He was talking to them. They looked for a way to kill him. Now, they had already been trying to kill him. They've already been trying to kill him. You know, right before this, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And after that, they said, "No, we're gonna go kill Lazarus, and we're going to kill Jesus too." Now, they've already been trying other things, but it's like, God already raised him from the dead, and you're going to try to kill him now? I mean, just think about how far, think about the thinking, how far demented these people really were. God did a miracle that only God could do. Someone has been dead 3 days and you raised them up, and then you have the audacity to say, "I'm going to go kill this person." Who do you think raised them from the dead? And you're going to go upside of God and think you're going to now take this person out? Well, that didn't happen. Actually, Lazarus went on. He traveled into what is modern day Europe and founded a church there. Amen. Praise God. Just fun fact. Amen. Amen. He preached the gospel. He had a story to tell, don't you know? Amen. When they looked for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. And as they were walking back in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered it and said, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Jesus responds, "Have faith in God." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up, thrown into the sea,' and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Can you say amen? Praise God. Now, we look at this passage of Scripture, and it seems like there's two different storylines going on. There's really not. It's really all flows together. And again, I was thinking about this. Holy Spirit, you started writing this, you know, through Mark, you know, this gospel account, but you chose to put these two things interwoven, and they really do fit together. And we'll see more about that. Amen. So the first thing I really want to look here, number one, that faith, it's not mysterious. Faith is not complicated. Amen. And faith is not unpredictable. Again, I know we've talked about this. People over the years have had all types of funny ideas about what faith is, or the word of faith message. And, you know, they come up with all these nonsense about these things instead of just going to the Bible and seeing what the Bible has to say. Right. Amen. So again, Jesus is outlining, have faith in God. He straight from the lips of the master, he is given a teaching and a demonstration on how this works. Paul writes this over in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This is the word of faith which we preach. What did Paul call the word of faith? The gospel message. And how did he say that gospel message operated? And he went on to say there in Romans 9 and 10, if you'll believe in your heart, if you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Same thing. No matter what it is in this life, everything will work always the exact same way. In the kingdom, faith is the currency. Faith says, I heard a word from God. I believe that word in my heart. And now I am in full agreement with God, not just an empty head confession, heart confession. He didn't say believe with your head. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. I believe it in my heart. I'm confessing it out of my mouth, and I'm born again. Hallelujah to Jesus. How did you get healed? The exact same way. How did you get free? The exact same way. I acknowledge the truth, and I am free in Christ Jesus. This no longer belongs to me. I'm not part of that kingdom. I'm not subject to this addiction. I am subject to the peace of God in Christ Jesus. I am subject to reign in life. Hallelujah. What am I doing? I am no longer allowing the God of this world, the accuser of the brethren, to come and try to put stuff on me, to try to put this sin tag, to try to put this thing. That's not mine. That was broken off in the spirit at the new birth. Now I'm simply acknowledging every good and perfect thing that is in me in Christ Jesus. Philemon 1:6. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. 1 John 5:4. We overcome this world by faith. So again, faith is simply responding to God the way God responds to himself. Believing what he says, acting on what he reveals, and trusting that his word is already working even when nothing seems to be happening on the surface. Again, Jesus spoke to this fig tree. In the moment, nobody saw physically with their natural eye anything happen. So when did Jesus speak to the fig tree? He went out from Bethany. That next morning, he speaks to the fig tree. Nothing happens. He goes into the temple. At the evening time, they pass by that tree. Don't you know that Peter and the disciples were checking out that tree? They didn't see anything different about that tree. But the next morning, 24 hours later, they did see something. They did see something. Amen. It was working the whole time. Amen. But it just wasn't immediately evident to the natural eye. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord. Have faith in God. So again, trust in his word that it's already working, even when nothing seems to be happening in this natural realm. It's working. It was working the whole time. So looking here at this passage in Mark 11, Jesus gives one of the clearest demonstrations of the God kind of faith. He shows us how faith sees, how it speaks, how it acts, and how faith receives. This passage is a revelation about how the kingdom operates and how we are to function in it. Again, faith is the currency of the kingdom. Again, we taught on this for weeks, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe. Huh. Believe where? In my heart. Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. This hearkens right back to Jesus in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his way of doing things and being right, and what's the result of it? All this other stuff, it'll be added to you besides or because of. If you'll just seek the one thing, you'll get everything. And it comes by believing, amen, and trusting in him, taking God at his word and say, God, if you said it, that settles it. I don't need to understand it with my natural mind because I'm not believing with my mind. I'm believing with my heart. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if I'll hold fast to it, it'll surely come to pass just like it did for Jesus. Ha ha. So let's look here. Mark 11, verse 11. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem. He went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, thinking about this, Jesus, he's at this point, this is just 3 or 4 days before they actually arrest him on the Mount of Olives and put him on the cross. This is, we're leading right up to Passover right now. Jesus has been going to this temple since he was a kid. His whole life he's been going. And we know just by the law, every male is required to present themselves at these feast days. And so, again, we saw at 13 years old, him and his whole family, they're all there. Of course, he stayed behind. He's been in this temple how many times? Just even in his last 3.5 years of ministry, he's been to every festival. He's been to those that you're supposed to go to. And how many other times? What's going on in the temple didn't just happen the day before. This has been going on for a long time. You know, to get to this level of corruption, this has been going on for a while. And yet Jesus never did anything about it until now. He's seen it the whole time. He's been aware of it the whole time. All right, just hold this. He does nothing. The key is, why not? If Jesus, the Master, saw all of this happening for all of these years, several times a year at a minimum, he's been in this temple for a week at a time or so, at a minimum. Why has he not done anything about it? John 5:19-20, we're going to see the answer. So Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself, unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father says or does, the Father also does." Excuse me. "Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." Are you in the Son? Yes, you are. So the Father loves you. We see this. Jesus himself said that he loves us just as much as he loves him. The Father loves you, and he'll show you everything as well. He'll show you everything. Again, Jesus said in John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," what's he going to do? Number one job, lead you and guide you unto all truth. He said he's going to take of what is mine. He's going to reveal it. He's going to disclose it. He's going to transmit it. He's going to get it over to you. That's his number one job. Praise God. And God's going to do his part. Amen. Now, are we listening? Are we tuned in? Are we even asking? Are we even checking? Are we even considering? Again, Jesus said, "I can't do anything. I can't." Not "I won't." He said, "I can't." If he had tried, he's letting you know it wouldn't work. When Satan came to tempt Jesus out in the wilderness after those 40 days, what did Jesus go back to? "It's written, it's written, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I've got to hear from God on this situation. He never said anything in the temple all of those 33.5 years before because God didn't tell him to. And because God didn't tell him to, he had no authority to operate under, to do that. Verse 30. "I can do nothing." He's repeating himself just to make sure you get it. "I can do nothing by myself. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, you could take that verse right there and just camp out on it. We could preach on that verse right there, and we just might do it, you know, for a while. There's so much in this. Number one, I can do nothing of myself. I judge, or I declare, or I decree a thing only as I hear the Father tell me to. When he tells me, when he speaks something to my spirit, "Go say this, go do that," and that's when I actually have a word to stand on. Now, Jesus knows what he quotes here in the temple. "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you've made it a den of robbers?" Do you reckon Jesus knew that the night before? Do you reckon Jesus knew that a few months ago at the previous and the previous? He's known that for years. He's seen it for years. He knows the will of God. He knows the will of God in that temple. And yet he's done nothing about it until now. Why not? It wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. It's not just to know the overarching general will of God. You need to hear from God in every situation for yourself and how He would have you handle this. Again, we talked about this. You look at the healing ministry of Jesus. He didn't heal the same way twice necessarily. Every time that we, all these gospel accounts, you'll see, now I know there's many times He's laying hands on a lot of folks. I get that. But when you look at all these gospel accounts, He sent His word and healed them. The centurion, you know, sent a servant over to Him with this message. My servant's at the point of death. You don't need to come to my house. I'm not even worthy. I recognize my standing as a Gentile, but I know this. If you'll just speak the word, my servant across town over here, he's going to be healed. You don't need to come to my house. You don't need to lay hands. You just need to speak a word, and we're going. And the word says that Jesus spoke that word, and they went back, and that servant, they checked the time. He said he was healed from that very same hour. Now, actually, it says he began to get better from that same hour. Even that wasn't an instant miracle, but it went to work instantly. Amen. So other times, you know, we see Jesus, you need to go dip. Again, we're spitting in the mud. Other times, he's doing all types of things. Why did, you know, so if he's just got this super anointing and he can just heal anybody anytime, well, he would just do it the exact same way. You know, I'm not going to lay hands. I'm just going to speak a word because that's probably easier than me walking across town. Father didn't show him to do it that way. He can only do it as the Father showed him to do it. That's a major key for you and I. Again, he knows. Everybody knows. Healing is his will. How is he going to minister that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So many people get presumptuous and start acting. Well, I know so-and-so, they had this similar symptom, they had this similar situation, and here's what they did. And they received their healing. Guess what? I'm going to do the same thing. And you'll do it, and it won't work. Why? They got before God. They found out how God would minister to them, and they walked out what He told them to do. You're not them. Even if you had a similar situation come up 10 years later, don't go back to 10-year-old revelation. You need fresh revelation every day. Lord, how do I need to walk this out this time? Again, you had financial, whatever it is. Get before God. Seek His counsel. Amen. Praise God. Again, I can do nothing by myself. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. Now, there's another part of that. Again, going back over all the years of ministry and started out on the prayer line, I can't tell you how many thousands of calls I got directly contrary to this. And you talk to people on the phone, and it was obvious they have not sought the counsel of God regarding their life. They have an idea about what they think they want to do. Now, brother, I want you to pray and agree with me that God's going to bless me. You didn't give God any place. You literally, in that instance, you've made yourself out to be God. You've judged what it is you think is what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And now, God, I need you to add your part to it and bless it. God's plan is blessed. Just go find out what His plan is and just get in agreement with that and start walking that out. I don't have to pray, God, please bless my deal. I don't need to pray, God, please go with me. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. He's always present. But am I listening? Am I tuning into His voice to find out how He's going to lead me and guide me in this situation? Because anything else, there's no grace. There's no grace to bless your plan. Whatever happens is by the sweat of your brow. You know, and in the natural, especially here in the United States, this is one of the most prosperous nations in the history of the planet. And we were founded as a Christian nation on Christian values. And the blessing has been on this nation. And there are people who are living in the blessing just as a overflow, a splash over effect.
Right.
It's possible in this nation to come out here and buy and work hard and work smart on all of these things and advance financially. It's not that hard. It's really not. I mean, it is so easy to do that. I've talked to so many people here in town. You know, you talk to them about the Lord or invite them to church. Yeah, we're good. We're good. And again, I understand where their thinking is. Yeah, you're working a job. You're, you know, working as a secretary over here and, you know, your husband's working over here. And yeah, you've got your 401k and you've got your retirement plans and all of this seems good. Totally missing the whole thing. You think you're good according to what standard? What are you judging by? Because the scripture tells us in more than one place, in just a few more days, we're all going to stand before the Lord. Son, daughter, here's what I've called you to do. Here's what you did. All this other stuff you did, fire's going to hit it. And everything that you've done that I didn't call you to do is going to be burned up. And he says, yeah, you've made it into heaven. You haven't lost your salvation, but there's no reward for that. There's no reward for that. So all of this effort, all of this striving, all of these things accumulated what? You got an extra car in the garage? I mean, what is that upside of eternity? Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's just, don't want to rabbit trail too much. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So in Bethany that night, so Jesus, he goes in the temple that day. So again, for how many times he's been in that temple in his lifetime? Hundreds, most likely hundreds. But in Bethany that night or early the next morning, as he often did, as we've seen in scripture, Jesus would go out early in the morning on a regular basis, sometimes the night before, all night long, praying. Get him before God. And again, prayer, we talked about this. Prayer is not, oh God, oh God, oh God, please bless me, please bless me, please heal me, please. No, prayer in its simplest form is just simply conversation, communion with God. I'm just spending time. I'm presenting his Father. I know healing is your will. I can see what Jesus has provided for me on the cross. Now I have this situation in my body. And I know this is not right. I know this is true. Show me what about this? What do I need to do? I'm reminded, you know, I work with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland out there at Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain International Church on staff for 10 years. And Brother Copeland would talk about this over and over and over. They had a prayer cabin out in Arkansas, and it was fairly remote. Especially when they first started out there, there wasn't really too many amenities and stuff, but they would go anytime they had a situation, ministry or personally or whatever, they would just, don't call us. We're going to turn off the phone. He and Gloria would go and just get quiet. They would go out to that prayer cabin and they would pray. And then they would just go sit out on the front porch for days, if it took it, until they heard from God what to do in a situation. There's nothing, when you're faced with a situation, you need to turn everything else off, tune everything else out. I need to hear from God. I need a word from God. Jesus, no doubt, was troubled. It's like, how long? He goes and he hears from the Father, and the Father tells him, all right, son, here's what it's time to do now. Now, he may have had this prayer conversation, I believe, probably a number of times before. He had to have been troubled about this situation many times before. And the Father just said, hold on that. Hold on that. Hold on that. It's not time yet. Amen. Now, where healing is concerned, there, you don't have to wait. Healing already is finished. Amen. But we have to draw away to hear from him. There's nothing more important than this life than hearing from him. If you can hear and know what the plan of God is, when you hear that word and it's a rhema, it's an illumination to you. Oh yeah. That you talk about faith coming. You talk about faith coming. Yeah. You'll sell your house and move 800 miles out to Ogallala, Nebraska, and plant a church without one partner. Well, you know, mom was here, but you know, other than that, we didn't know. There was no other, there was nothing else. We just heard a word. You better be sure about that. You better be sure. Again, you have to take time to hear from God. And if you'll do it in the small things, in everything, it gets so much easier. So even when the big thing comes, you're just in the flow. I'm checking with him. I'm checking with him. I'm checking with him at all times. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." That's such a power-packed phrase. For as many, which means not everybody, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. This is exactly what he's talking about. When you look at that scripture in the context, this is exactly what he's talking about. While I take time to draw away and be in the habit of habitually hearing from heaven, this is how I'm to live my life. This is exactly how Jesus modeled it for us. I can't do it of myself. I can only do it as I hear from him. So the number one priority in Jesus' life was to hear from the Father. Have we evolved? Have we evolved? No. At Christianity as a whole, we have devolved. Self-led, God, please come and hook up with me. No, go hook up with him. Amen. Hallelujah. The more you do it, the easier it will be. This is a lifestyle shift. But oh, as soon as you'll get in on the one thing, it'll just get so much easier. When you hear that word from God, and you know you've heard from God, and you go walk that word out, oh, it'll be exciting to you. I need to hear the next thing. I need to hear the next thing. Next thing you know, he's helping you get dressed in the morning. He's helping you decide what you need to eat today. He'll help you with everything that you'll ask him. He will help you with everything that you'll ask him for. He wants to. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. So again, thank you, Jesus. Faith is never presumptuous. Real faith in God is to first seek the wisdom of God. And so I have this in our notes here and just, thinking about this. What situation are you currently faced with? Everybody's got things, physical body, something in your soul, an addiction maybe you've been dealing with, could be something in your household, in your extended family, right? You need the wisdom of God. How do I handle an unsaved spouse? How do I minister to them, Lord? You know perfectly how to minister to them. I'm asking you. I'm inviting you to come and shine the light. And right now, by faith, I'm going to roll the care of this over onto you, according to 1 Peter 5:7, because you care about this more than I do. You see things about this I have not even yet comprehended. But you know how to minister effectively. And Lord, as you'll show me, I'll be a yielded, submitted vessel, operating with you as a son and daughter of God. Now we're in agreement. Now we're in harmony. Now we're not servants of God. Now we're tuned in as a son of God. A son seeks the Father's heart. A servant will seek the hand. If you'll seek the heart, you'll get the hand. If you seek the hand, you won't get anything. Ha. So again, have we sought his counsel? And have we stayed in his presence long enough to hear the answer? Well, how long is long enough? As long as it takes. Now, going back to that story, Kenneth and Roy Colkin said it never took more than 3 days. But they were committed to stay there as long as it took. He said, a lot of times I get it in, a day. He said, but never more than 3 days. But I mean, they turned off the phones. They turned off all communication. There's no distraction. There's no other thing. They said, my wife, we're out there with our Bible. That's it. Don't need nothing else. There's nothing else I need to consider. I have to hear from him. Ah, thank you, Lord. Now, maybe it takes you a week. So what? If it took you a week the first time, press into it. But here's the thing, the more you'll do it, the quicker and easier you're going to hear. Amen. Quicker and easier. I practiced this when I was on the prayer line. Again, I've shared this with you. I started out, I had nothing but basically a, you know, religion as a child. And then I had a whole lot of sin background. And then at 30, I'm giving my life to the Lord. And then he calls me over here to the ministry. And of course, I wasn't qualified, but he said, don't worry about it. I've qualified you. Amen. Praise God. So I get there and they have some training, but I don't know all these scriptures. I'm still learning. I'm digging in my Bible every day. I am, but I don't know all of this, but I practice. I heard about this early on. I had some good teaching. I'm heard about this early on, being led by the Spirit of God. And so I practiced on every phone call, and I would take 100 to 120 inbound calls a day, 10-hour shifts, 4 days a week. I practice. I made it a practice. So I would sit there at my desk. I had a cubicle, my Bible and my water or my coffee. I didn't have anything else in my cubicle. I didn't want any other distractions. I just want to hear from God. And I would hear from him. And so as I'm listening to them on the phone, you know, hey, you know, what's going on? How can I pray with you today? And they start talking. And while they're talking, I'm listening with this ear and I'm listening with this ear. And I practice this and I practice this and I practice this on every single call to hear, Lord, how do you want me to minister to this person? What scripture do you want me to turn to? You know, and as I would hear, he would start, I've started getting clear and it started getting easier and easier and easier. I'm tuning in. I'm making it a lifestyle to hear from him. You can do this with anything. You can do this with anything in your life. Just make it a practice. I choose to acknowledge you in all my ways. What is he going to do? Direct and make straight and plain your paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. That's even in the Old Testament. He'll find a way even in the Old Testament. You couldn't tell an Old Testament Christian, an Old Testament believer, to be led by the Spirit of God. They weren't born again. They weren't Spirit-filled. But yet that scripture's in there. God somehow, some way is going to find a way to lead you and guide you into all truth if you're really seeking him. He's always got ways. Amen. Just acknowledge him. Give him something to work with. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. This is the foundation of faith. I noted this here, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let's just read this little passage and we're going to close here today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Again, he's out in the wilderness. We'll start at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus needed some food, y'all. Literally, physically, he's at the point of death. And they say when you have gone 40 days without food, there's a time when you're fasting that you get accustomed to it and you're okay with it. You feel fine. But at the end of this, you are so overwhelmingly ravenous. This is literally every fiber of your being driving you. I have to eat for self-preservation because I'm literally about to fall over dead. This is like a self-defense mechanism that kicks in. So, I mean, you talk about someone at their weakest possible state. And again, the devil says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And again, Satan is trying to tempt Jesus to act in his own authority apart from God. Amen. Now, Jesus has a need, but he's tempting him to meet that need in an illegitimate way. He tried this with Jesus. Do you think he'll try it with you and I? Is it God's will for Jesus to have some food and sustain his life? Yes. Is it God's will for Jesus to act presumptuously and just do it however he sees fit? No. This is where so many people miss it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not just knowing what the written word says, what is Holy Spirit breathing on that word in this situation for me today? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aha. Thank you, Lord. Did y'all get something out of that today? Well, we're just getting started. That was just point number one. And I had more points that I'd even bring with me today. So we're just going to take our time and just pick our way through. We're just going to enjoy this buffet that we're eating at. And we're going to eat it all. We're not going to leave anything on it. Praise God. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we read the scripture here at the opening, but I'm going to give it to us again at the close. Those of you here, those of you watching, the scripture tells us, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Amen. So let's all pray this together. And you've got to, those of you watching, you have to open your mouth and give voice to it. Again, you believe with your heart, but you must say it out of your mouth. That is faith being released. That is faith being activated. Speak. Amen. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. I believe, Father God, that you raised Jesus on the third day and that he has ascended to your right hand. And Jesus, I'm asking you now, come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it. By faith, I will seek your face and I will live to the praise of your glory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not my will, but thy will be done. Praise be to God. Well, hallelujah. Again, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We're going to have a fellowship dinner in here. It's been a little while, so we bought some new tables to celebrate with, and we're going to get some pizzas and what have you. Amen. But again, 6 o'clock, and then, of course, next Sunday, pre-service prayer, 9:20 to 9:40, and then service starts at 10. In the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you, and in him, we are living in victory.